because of these image films on Instagram, it's getting a bit, it's not that close to reality anymore, because these are just snippets, like snippets of your sketches, snippets of the clean lines, and but the in-between is sometimes missing, and the in-between is also often using references.
Welcome to another episode of Pay to Draw. We're back after a very short hiatus and so excited to bring you another season. I am one of your hosts. My name is Victoria Chihun. You can also call me Vicky if you want. I'm an illustrator from Berlin. And here is also my lovely co-host and skater boy, Dave.
No.
Just had to comment. Dave came here with his skateboard because he's going to skate after recording this podcast. And I think that's adorable.
Yeah, the people need to know. I started skating again after 20 years, but I don't feel like I'm allowed to call myself a skater again. Hi, everybody. My name is Dave Leutert. I'm also an illustrator as well as a lettering artist. Welcome to season 3. That's right. We're still here. We're still the only illustration podcast with a German accent. Deal with it. That's just how it is. We are broadcasting live from Vicky's studio, the Boys Club in Berlin Neukölln. And today I'd like to introduce you to our amazing guest, Anna Ruprecht. Hi, Anna. Welcome
Hello.
To the show.
Woo.
Hi. Before we get started, if you don't mind, Anna, I'll just tell our dear listeners a little bit about who you are.
Sure.
Anna Ruprecht is an artist and freelance illustrator based in Berlin. Her artworks stand out with bright colors, humorous socio-political themes, and bizarre fashion elements from unusual perspectives. In her work, she tries to reflect the current zeitgeist with clear contours through exciting image dynamics and protagonists of her generation. After completing her communication design studies at University of Applied Sciences in Berlin, Anna became a freelancer and has already worked with a wide range of notable international clients. And I think that's the most modest way to phrase that, because you've worked for basically everyone. Pretty much. You've worked for Apple, for Pinterest, Adidas, Netflix, the New York Times and the New Yorker, for Bumble and Tinder, for Doc Martens and Penguin Books. The list goes on and on.
That's everyone.
That is pretty much everyone.
There's no more clients left.
Yeah. Nike's missing.
Oh,
still on my
that's
list,
right.
To be
yep,
honest.
The big one.
Yeah.
We'll get there.
I hope so. One day. Yeah. Thank you for the nice intro.
My pleasure.
And thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Yeah, we're so excited. And before we talk more about how you want to work for Nike, could you tell us a little about your illustration journey? Like, where did you start and what inspired you to do it? And pretty much everything. What made you an illustrator?
The big story.
Yes, please.
I think it starts for a lot of people in their childhood. My parents got me when they were pretty young. They were still studying and they were very occupied, very busy. Mm. And so, I was an only child until I was 8, but I was still not like the center of attention because they had a lot going on. And I think for my creativity, it wasn't so bad in the end. Also, I was a real TV kid. I was watching TV so many hours. Mm-hmm. It's nothing to be ashamed of. I think it kind of opened a door in many ways. And like my first childhood memories connected to creativity are, for example, that I watched this advertisement about like a children's laptop. And mm-hmm. I really want to get it. Mm-hmm. I got it in the end on Christmas. But often I try to like redraw what I've saw in some advertisement spots. And so I made my own children's laptop at kindergarten. Mm-hmm. And the other children saw it and they wanted their own. So I made one for everyone. And,
oh, wow.
Yeah. Cool. So I liked to to invent stuff or to to just draw my very own world. Mm-hmm. I was very dreamy and it opened another space just for me. Mm-hmm. And my childhood was not always great. It was also a bit bumpy and my parents got divorced when I was 4, so also when I was pretty young. But in the end, I'm thankful for everything because I think if there's no drama, there's no art.
Oh, wow.
That's my opinion. I think mm-hmm. it's different for everyone. But for me, a lot of stuff is also coming from trauma. Mm-hmm. But now I can see it in a positive way.
Mm.
And when I got older after finishing school, I immediately went to Berlin because that was a fact. I wanted to go to Berlin. I'm from Dresden, which is a smaller town in East Germany. And then I worked at an Italian shoe store just to get to make some money and to survive in this jungle. And then I worked for another retail brand, Monki. And then I got accepted at University of Applied Sciences and I started studying communication design. Mm-hmm. And this was like the next chapter for me mm-hmm. on a creative basis. And I chose this study subject because I think it includes a wide range of stuff you can make with it or out of it. There's like a basis study, like the first 3 semesters is like a basis study where you can try out everything like mm-hmm. photography, typography, illustration, if you get accepted for the course. That's another story because I didn't get accepted.
Oh.
But it kind of motivated me. Mm-hmm. There was a professor who teach the course every year. He created a very popular children's book mm-hmm. with his illustrations. And you had to apply separately for his course. Mm. And I think I tried 2 or 3 times and wow. I didn't get in. Uh-huh. And so in the end, I was like, fuck it. I would do it myself. So, uh-huh.
yeah.
And now we're here. No. I just included into the other subjects my illustrations, and it also worked out for me. And I already worked freelance when I still studied. Mm-hmm. So
that's really smart.
When I finished my bachelor degree, I was already represented by an agency. I was already working for the New Yorker, for example. Mm-hmm. So that was nice because I already had the foot in mm-hmm. the door,
yeah.
so to say.
Take that, professor.
Yeah,
really. Yeah. Seriously, screw you.
And in the end, I'm thankful for what I studied because back then I thought it's very like school-like and I didn't really like the school system when I went to school. But in the end, I'm thankful because I could learn a lot about like the Adobe Cloud mm-hmm. programs just finding my own voice, my creative voice. And back then I also applied at UDK, mm-hmm. which is another art university here in Berlin, and I didn't get accepted. And at the time I was super depressed about it, but now I'm actually a bit happy because I was wondering how my style would look like if I got accepted there. Mm-hmm. And so I was in complete freedom to do what I want.
Yeah.
I don't have like a tutor or mm-hmm. a teacher. I just teach it myself. So, So that's basically the story. I had my first job. Yeah, maybe that's funny to tell. I think my first job was before I even started studying, mm-hmm. because I made some drawings, like with fine liners or markers, and I took some photos of it and uploaded them on Facebook. And
I remember Facebook.
Yes, it's that thing. Uh-huh. This book with the
oh,
faces.
Right, the book. Yep.
Yeah, and I've uploaded them. They are just posting them randomly, actually. Mm-hmm. And a friend of a friend was an editor for a hip-hop magazine here in Berlin. It's called Juice Magazine.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think it's not... I don't know if they are still alive. But
yeah,
and back then it was also a big job because he, mm-hmm. he was offering me a job for, I think, two full side illustrations mm-hmm. and one half side illustration. So...
Mm-hmm.
A lot, and I didn't even know how to draw digitally.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to learn it, or I had to learn how to work on my marker-based illustrations mm-hmm. in Photoshop to finish this job. So
right.
actually, it was a nice,
cool.
good start for me.
Yeah. How did what did your work look like at the time? Around the time you started studying or right before, because you said you sort of developed your style during the time teaching yourself. Could you explain how it was it different in any way from what it looks like today?
It's funny because it's not totally different
mm-hmm.
because I'm still sticking to not using any shadows. Mm-hmm. It's very comic-like.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And with very clean lines mm-hmm. and so it's not so much different. I think now the difference is that I'm working fully digitally.
Mm-hmm.
I'm working in Illustrator, so it looks a bit more more clean.
Right.
mm-hmm. Than back when I scanned my mm-hmm. illustrations. And also, I think the perspectives changed.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's more dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a developed style, but it's not totally different from where I came from.
Okay. Cool. Well, I wish podcasts were a visual medium so we could look at it now. So as probably many of our loyal listeners know, I have a bit of a love-hate relationship with the city of Berlin. I've only been here shy of, 3 years. So I guess I'm what they would call a zugezogene Pflanze, still a recent transplant here. And whenever people ask me why I moved to Berlin, I never quite have an answer. I do have a bit of a fascination.
Yeah.
I think it's just not just historically, culturally, and it offers so many things that you won't necessarily find in other places of the country. But then it's such a beautiful place in the summer, not quite as pretty in the winter.
Yeah.
We have 6 months of cold and just gray ahead of us. Not looking forward to it. But it's... What am I even getting at? Do I like
you
this
hate
place?
Berlin. Just say it.
Not really. I mean, like I can meet up with all of you and we can have this conversation
yeah.
and that's there is this community too. But I don't know. But whenever I think of your illustration style, I think of, you know, dynamic perspectives, diverse protagonists and then most importantly, really bold colors, you know,
yes.
these really flat sort of comic book inspired color palettes. What would you say motivates and inspires you to create such colorful work in a gray city like Berlin?
Yeah, maybe it's because it's so gray.
Hmm.
You have to bring yeah. some light in.
Yeah.
No, I don't know. I mean, as you already told us, it's not always that gray. I mean, weather-like, it's very
mm-hmm.
gray right now.
Yeah.
But for example, what me what motivated me to come here in the first place. And I was really sure about this when I was 15.
Mm-hmm.
I was telling my parents, after I finish school, I will directly go to Berlin.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing that holds me back here
in this city. 15?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I was already visiting friends here when I was 16. I don't know about the parent skills because I would have been a bit afraid of for my child.
Yeah.
But okay. Yeah, but I think for me it was like, as I already told you, I'm from Dresden, which is a smaller town in East Germany, but not that small. But mm-hmm. I think the people are very thinking in boxes, and mm-hmm. also on a political level, it's very mm-hmm. complicated.
Yes.
Where I'm from. Uh-huh. And I felt always like I felt liked by a lot of people and friends, but I felt different and not like I'm really fitting in.
Mm-hmm.
Also style-wise, I was super crazy when I was younger. Like I had so many different hairstyles, and I was, for example, I had like a necklace with a scissor, and I always wear heelys at school and just rolling around until they got forbidden at school. Yeah, so I felt like I have to go to a bigger place where it's more freedom for everyone. And like, I mean, on a artsy base, I think it's a good place to start art
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and to get inspired and to meet people
right.
that have the same vibe.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Sure.
But I can definitely understand what you mean. I mean, I live here for 11 years now. And I think since COVID, a lot of people are thinking about why they are here and why they should stay or even uh-huh. not. So because also with like the digital world, it's not necessary to be here.
Mm-hmm.
But then there are like super nice events and mm-hmm. Talks or exhibitions and culture in general. And
yes.
I think I would miss that. But I'm just back from 2 weeks in New York.
Uh-huh.
And for example, now as a Berliner, this is a total different vibe for me.
Mm-hmm. It's
so inspiring and also loud and dirty and also gray somehow, mm-hmm. but different.
Yeah.
So I can understand that, yeah. I think it also depends where you're coming from
mm-hmm.
and where you want to go or where you see yourself aging.
Yeah. Huh. That's a good way to look at it. I guess if there is a place where you can wear heelys as an adult, it would be Berlin, probably.
You know what? I still have heelys in my size now because I just wanted to know if I'm still able to.
Yeah. And?
Yeah.
Still got it?
Yeah, I think it's like something you don't
forget.
Forget.
Yeah.
You forgot, forget.
I think it's something you don't forget, like swimming.
I think it's the natural evolution of the shoe. I think every shoe should be a heelie,
yeah.
or at least have the option to be a heelie, you know.
But how do you go about rolling in Berlin with all the cobblestone and the terrible pavement?
It's just you fall.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't used them so much because I'm also a bit embarrassed. But my dream would be to go to a big mall, like the mall at Potsdamer Platz and then just rolling around.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I also, I have a friend and he told me that he also got heelys when he was younger.
Mm-hmm.
So I got them a pair
mm-hmm.
for his birthday.
Uh-huh.
So now we our dream is to like to make some TikTok videos.
Heely content.
Yeah.
Cool.
Get really popular. More popular than with my art.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just being a Healy star.
Yep.
Healy influencer,
yes.
A
He-fluencer.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I can relate. it's just, it just, there's so much culture and subculture, especially. I could just last week, I was able to go to a Super Chunk show on a random Wednesday. They're one of my favorite punk bands. I don't think that would have been possible in my hometown necessarily. But then, right, I'm just going to say it. I think a lot of Berliners are not very friendly, and I'm getting to a point, I can't deal with it. It's just like, it's so hard for me. And I know it's part of the culture, and they call it Berliner Schnauze, the Berlin snout. I find it just straight up unfriendly, because what it is you say the meanest possible things, and then you follow it up with a smirk, and you're just like, well, just kidding, you know, that's just how we are here. And that's not, it's just not kind. It's not nice.
You're,
it's
crying.
Not everyone. I don't mean to generalize. There's a ton of nice people here too. I just, sorry, I'm just being so mean again. Let's talk about illustration.
I guess like when you're in the US, it's different, because in the US, people are kind of nicer. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not so sure about New York in general, but
but
in the US, I think like the overall vibe is much friendlier and much chattier than in Germany. In Germany, in general, not only Berlin, I think everywhere in Germany, people are a little more reserved.
Oh yeah, we don't talk to strangers here.
Yeah.
But I think the problem is when you are German, on one hand, you really like this openness. On the other hand, you can't trust it. Like, you are like, is he really nice?
Yeah,
you're
trying to sell me something.
Just,
what is this?
Playing around.
Yeah.
So, you can't really take it.
It's difficult. You already touched on your future Healy TikTok career. I want to get more into that, because I saw that you also you're not camera shy, and you also make content with your art. And I personally think that's kind of the future also of illustrators, and also what sets us apart from like AI art and stuff like that, is that we are human, and we make art, and we also have a personality. And I think your personality comes through in those videos, and I think that's really awesome. I really love seeing the person behind art, and it gives so much more context.
Thank you.
Yeah, and what I'm getting at is, what do you think are the advantages if you show your face on social media and in combination with your art, or you make like corporations like you did with Aldi, where you explained the idea behind it? What do you think is the advantage, and do you have any tips for people who are camera shy?
Yeah, I mean, I really like what you said, because I think if you show your face, you have the possibility to put more personality into your work. And of course, there's also a lucrative aspect. Clients can imagine more options with you, what to do.
Yeah.
For example, like making a campaign, like the Aldi campaign, or campaigns I made before, which included video content of me making something or explaining something, or just this personal vibe getting into the whole artwork. But I also feel a bit pushed into this because, as you already said, artificial intelligence is getting more and more present for us artists, and it also frightens me. And this is kind of my hope, that artificial intelligence can't really do all the things I can do or show. And people always need something to relate, like my personality. Maybe someone feels the same or can relate to what I'm saying. So I think people still need the human behind it.
Yeah.
And not just the image or the artwork.
Yeah.
But I can also totally understand if someone is super uncomfortable with showing their face. And I think this should also be legit, because I also know other artists that say they want they want the focus on their art and not on themselves.
Yeah.
And I also get this. I think it's just like different business ways to go. And for me, I have to say it's on a financial side, it's much better for me to do it this way. And I think you also get more and more comfortable in front of the camera.
Yeah.
Because it's, you can also see it on social media that more and more people are joining this. but yeah, it's also a hate love kind of. For example, I really don't like to talk into the camera.
Yeah.
Feels super strange to me. And re-watching this video. Yeah. But sometimes you have to like make announcements or, but yeah, maybe this is also something you have to get used to, but it's, for me, it's super weird.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's still, it's all curated. I think you shouldn't forget this. It's never totally real. But yeah, it's also a lot of fun. And it's like your own little exhibition on your website or on your social media. It has a lot of positive aspects to show your face. And also it's kind of a proudness, or like the name, the genius was always male in the beginning of time of art. So, and I really like Frida Kahlo, not only because of her art, it's more because of her image and the photos of her of that time. Because she was also playing with this and with her styles and her looks and what she, what she said or what her medium was. So I think that's very motivational.
Yeah. I also think it's really cool to see the artist's style, because you came in here with a shiny cobalt blue coat in the winter that is so gray and everybody's wearing
my
black
signature look.
And I think like that's all fun for me to see, is the style of the artist, and also to see we talked about this, you just got a new studio and then you can like make it the way you want it, and then it's also nice to show it off on camera. And I think if I film content here in my studio, it's pretty dark. It's on the ground floor. The light is terrible. And then it's really hard to present this. And you want to be, you want to show off a little bit the nice room you made for yourself. Yeah, I think like that's
But it's
valid.
Also because I have to adjust to what's trending.
Yeah.
At a point. I mean, I really like it. And I'm so happy that I got this place now and I can just do what I want inside, and it gives me a lot of creativity back.
Yeah.
Which I was missing before because I was also working in a very dark room. So, but yeah, of course, but it's something you already think about when you are looking for a room.
Yeah.
Is it nice? Is it bright?
Yeah.
Can I do good content in it? It's embarrassing to say that, but it's true.
Yeah, that's also what I thought when I was envisioning my future studio. Also, not only for the camera, but if you want to paint on a canvas, for example, you don't want to do it in a dark room.
Sure.
I think like working on your screen is perfect in a dark room, because if the sun is shining into my flat, it looks really nice with the sun, but then you don't see anything and then it makes me angry and it's like, I can see my iPad. But yeah, if you want to do anything other than that, you want a bright space to see what you're doing.
And I just noticed it's really better for your well-being. Having a bright space.
I don't know. Reels are hard. There's so much work. I like how upfront you are about just the fact that it has been paying off, and it definitely can. And I mean, technologically, it makes sense that that would be the development, right? There's just more, everybody's on their phones, and there's just more. More bandwidth available, and so we don't need to just be looking at still images anymore.
Yeah.
Naturally, there's more video. Everything's in motion. Everything's animated. I wonder if I would be making any of these reels if it wouldn't pay off. I'm just asking this I'm just thinking out loud. And I think the answer is maybe, I don't know. Cause for me personally, it hasn't really paid off all that much. People don't necessarily hire me, you know, to create reels yet. But I think it's a fun way to just share how you work, not just your workspace, but also your process. And I think especially for, you know, up and coming artists, a lot of times just looking at those finished pieces to me is kind of discouraging because you're like, I'll never be this good, you know, but once an artist breaks down the process for you and is like, okay, it starts with an idea, it starts with one word and then a couple thumbnail sketches, and then you keep working on those and it suddenly makes it tangible. So I think I would still be making reels. I don't know. It's a fun medium. You can add your little, you know, your favorite song.
I'm also not sure because I'm a very lazy person.
Right. And then, okay.
Maybe I would have been too lazy.
Yeah.
But you know, you have to
get up. I sometimes have this fantasy. When I started out, I wanted to be interviewed by Freunde von Freunden, which is a blog which was more relevant a couple of years ago.
Yep. Yeah.
And I thought, like, I'm going to have this super awesome flat. And then I come gonna come by and visit this artist. And she's working in her bright studio. And I don't know. I sometimes have, like, a fantasy of, I am going to have a documentary. And I'm not interesting enough to make a documentary. I'm just
don't
realistic.
Say that.
Oh, come on.
Okay, thank you. But it is a little bit like a documentary. Like, this is how I start. I want to share this. So I think if it wasn't reels, maybe it would be some other medium, some blog or something. Mm-hmm. I think
that's true.
We all kind of have the need to be seen a little bit and maybe also share what we're doing.
Before Instagram, there was Blogspot, for example. Mm-hmm. I had a Blogspot blog.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I think it's natural or human that you want to show off, and then also that you want like admiration and likes.
Hmm.
I think we're all artists, and to say that we don't care about that is kind of lying.
No, not true.
Yeah,
not entirely true.
No, you're right. I mostly want to pay my bills. Like, I know, I don't know, all the engagement, just I need paying jobs. Like, so just part of running your own commercial art business is just doing all of these tiny little tasks here and there that none of them are really paying anything. And I just often find myself just doing, working on all of these little things. And I'm like, how am I still have bills to pay.
It's like,
and then
this,
you get another Behance inquiry where someone's like, I have 50 euros for this, but I need a million illustrations right now.
Yeah.
It's like, no, you know, this is, and I have a business to run here.
It's like this meme, like, best regards, the studio, and someone is typing an email and the studio is actually one person.
Yes, exactly. Have you ever considered maybe getting assistance or hiring somebody or collaborating with somebody in that?
I think I can't really imagine it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Maybe it would be very helpful, but I'm so into my world sometimes.
Yeah.
My partner is making fun of me a lot because I'm like absorbed. Mm-hmm. And for example, when I have an idea, I have to just create it very fast and like I can't wait.
Yes.
I can't really wait. And so I don't know if I would be a good instructor, for example, for an internship. And also I have a very weird way of doing things. I'm very unstructured. Yeah. So I don't know. But on the other hand, maybe it would be a good learning for me.
Yeah.
But do you think being unstructured, as you call it, is like, is this a negative thing? Because I feel like sometimes it's valid to have a different approach than others. And what seems unstructured to most is maybe a creative chaos.
Sure. And I think you need creative chaos in your life. There's also like this post, like creatives need time to sit around and do nothing.
Yeah.
And I think that's also very true. Mm-hmm. So, like, I sometimes need some boredom to become creative. But,
boredom is awesome.
But yeah, I don't know. I think in my imagination, the other person needs some structure or tasks to fulfill, like in a normal job situation. But yeah, maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Let's see what the future brings.
Yeah.
Applications come to me.
I don't know. I think it's interesting that you have that drive that once you think of something, you just have to immediately execute it. I would argue that that's maybe why you're so successful, because you just have this urge to make these things regardless of what people think. You just want to create, and that's taking you places. It's exciting.
Thank you.
Also, congrats on the new studio.
Thanks.
I'm only mildly jealous. If anybody here in Berlin is listening and you have a space for me, but please reach out. But back to Anna. You mentioned working in Illustrator mostly. Mm-hmm. I do want to hear more about how you work digitally, but apart from that, I know you also paint on canvases. You paint your own murals. How is that process different from working digitally, and what exactly do you enjoy about it? Do you mostly work in acrylics, or what's your medium of choice?
First of all, I have to say that I didn't create the murals.
Oh, like, okay.
For example, the one who is showcased here in Berlin. Mm-hmm. It's a very big one. Mm-hmm. It's on a very high building, and a company finished the artwork. They have a special system, like a grid system.
Oh, okay.
To transport it on the wall.
But did they hand paint it, or did they printed?
No, it's hand painted, but like with this grid system,
right. Mm-hmm.
They can transport a small illustration on a big scale.
Yes.
But I would love to do a mural. Mm-hmm. I think before I was a bit self-conscious, like I was too afraid maybe of big scales, and also of canvases and going back to analog. I'm so happy I tried it out again, because I tried it like some years ago. I was like, okay, I want to paint a canvas now, and it was horrible. It didn't work out, and I was like, okay, no, that's it. And I think 1 or 2 years ago, an art publisher reached out to me, Pablo. Mm-hmm. We are now working closely together. And they were like, okay, but how about you create some originals and going back to canvas and just try what you do digitally. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yeah, I can try, but my experience was not that good last time. And then I tried again, and it worked out very good, and I just noticed that it was a lot of joy for me, and very relaxing, and something different. I mean, it's a totally different situation, because I think it looks more easy than it is, because you have like other components. It's different because on your laptop you can go back, you can always erase things easily. And on canvas it's different, like you are working with a brush has a texture. Also, like making big areas in the same color, and it's that there are no spots. It's difficult. I just found out it's not that easy. But it's a lot of fun. I like it a lot, and it really gives me something back I had when I was younger. I can't really explain it, but it's very like meditation. And I'm also super absorbed when I start painting. I don't look at my phone, for example, which I do quite often when I work digitally. And I'm just listening to music. I have my big headphones on, and then I'm just, and it's nice. It's really nice. And I want to continue working more analog. Because I was wondering if it does me any harm on a business side, but it just turned out it's even better, because now I got my first job I should do on canvas for Ack. Ack Boots. And it was super nice because it was super very free job. Mm-hmm. What I'm doing, and of course I had to make a reel, but yeah, it was super nice, and I would love to have more jobs in this direction, and doing both is the perfect mixture for me.
Yeah.
But I could imagine that one of your questions is how I make my composition. Like, for example, for the canvas, I start scribbling, and sometimes I'm still working digitally first and then going back to canvas. It's funny, but sometimes I have my iPad and then I'm with the iPad in front of the canvas, and then I'm trying to transport my digital drawing.
Just freehand or sketch. Do you have a different system?
Yeah, sometimes I'm also using a projector.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Because it's like... I'm it's not such a Da Vinci. Time saver. It's sometimes it's just easier to get the right proportion of things. So and it also opened a world to me that you can use the projector to make big canvases working with a small sketch. So but I'm still in my tryout phase, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just right now I'm painting my biggest canvas yet.
Mm-hmm.
And so much fun. I want to go back to my studio.
We won't keep you here much longer.
No.
Hold on. We still have some questions.
It's more based on this, what I told you, that I want to finish it right away. Yeah. I can't wait.
I mean, that's ideal. That's how it should be. I wish that's how I felt about all of my work. But a lot of times, I don't know. I guess that's part of once your hobby turns into a job, and you just you have to actively make time for these personal projects. And ideally, if you can, you know, if it's traditional work and you're far away from any screens, you know, I guess technically, of course, a lot of my personal work is done digitally too. But you essentially have to, you know, set everything to airplane mode and do not disturb and all of, you know, no emails and nothing. Because just like you said, there's just so many distractions constantly. But if you don't mind, I would like to hear more about your digital work process.
Yeah.
Do you typically, you start on paper, and then do you scan your sketches? Do you take pictures of your sketches and then go straight into Adobe Illustrator? Or how?
Yes, that's most of the times I'm doing like hand sketches, pencil sketches. Sometimes when I have a very difficult like for example when I want a very difficult zoom optic in my illustrations, I also take some photos of myself. My boyfriend's always wondering, what are you doing? And sometimes there are these super weird photos left on my camera roll, and sometimes I'm embarrassed when someone is standing next to me. It's like,
and then
what
you get like
photos?
A slideshow from from your iPhone with those photos. Remember this moment?
Exactly. No, but sometimes I need some kind of reference to get the perfect illustration.
Mm-hmm.
Because as I already said, I'm not Da Vinci. So it's not that magical. Sometimes I need some references, or I'm Googling stuff.
Yeah.
Like,
I think we have to stop praising this, like doing sketches without a projector on a canvas or without references. You will get there without all this help, but it will take much longer. So wouldn't you much rather just save time and have some help and use some tools, and then it doesn't make you less of an artist if you have some help. It's just saves so much time.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I see it also like you. And also when you look at different illustration styles, I don't know if it's really about the style. You can also draw like stick figures, and it can be super cool. Or there are super popular artists working with very simple illustrations for me, I have to say it's more about the idea and being creative. Mm-hmm. And yeah. I think for me, the most inspiring people are people who are working interdisciplinary and in different fields or are, mm-hmm. for example, art directors.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So I think it's more about constantly being creative and don't lose this feeling or mm-hmm. this idea that came to you, or funny ideas sometimes. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I think this is more important than the technical side mm-hmm. for me.
Yeah.
I think everyone is different.
Yeah.
But yeah, for me, it's more the idea than the technique.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so true. And it really is, it really is so based on each individual artist's style. And I would argue that I'm pretty sure Da Vinci was using reference too. They just yeah. had to have live models there yeah. at the time. But
standing if you're there for hours.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, that was a job. I hope they got paid. I mean, your subject matter is mostly people, and anatomy is hard. There's absolutely no shame in using reference. Everybody uses reference. And if they don't, then
they're lying.
They're lying. Exactly.
They're lying. Yeah, and I think it's good maybe to say this out loud
mm-hmm.
so you don't have to be ashamed
yeah.
to use yeah. these references. I think that sometimes because of these image films on Instagram,
mm-hmm.
it's getting a bit, it's not that close to reality anymore
mm-hmm.
yeah. because these are just snippets, like snippets of your sketches, snippets of the clean lines and mm-hmm. but the in-between is sometimes missing, and the in-between is also often using references, or you can also use AI for reference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I know a lot of that's illustrators so true. Yeah. that are using artificial intelligence now for reference.
Yeah.
And I think that's okay.
It makes so yeah. much sense too. And you don't have to deal with possible, you know, copyright infringements if you're really sticking so closely to the reference that you say either trace, or just if the end result looks almost exactly like the photographic reference, that could become a problem. But if you just yeah. If you use AI to get the angle right, and it's, you know, a uniquely generated image, then it should be, I mean, I guess that comes with its own set of problems.
I always prefer to take my own photos because
yes.
that's me.
Yeah. yeah.
But yeah, it's funny because sometimes I have, for example, sometimes problems with hands, like when they are
oh, yeah.
very uh-huh. in the foreground and the body is in the background. And it's funny because my best friend, when she is looking at my art, she's always like, ah, this is your hand, right? Because she knows my hand
yeah.
so well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think that's okay. I mean, it's still a part of me in
yeah.
this artwork. Yeah. So
I think it's a common thing to recognize the artist in their work.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's mostly when they look for reference to look into the mirror or take a photo of them. So
yeah.
like when I draw a person, they look similar to me because
yeah, sure.
I see myself all the time.
Yeah.
So that's my idea of a human.
yeah. yeah, I can understand that. And I also like, I think the people who are also using this technique, they can see it in the art of others. So.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we already stated that you've worked for every client in the world.
Except for Nike.
Come on.
So
you're too good
like,
to me.
I would like to get some of your insight. How do you find these clients? Apart from your agent, because you've been working with an agent from the start pretty much, but you said that you already had clients before that as well. Like, how do you find them, or do they find you?
Yeah, actually, I hope this doesn't sound arrogant, but most of the cases, the client comes to me. And I always forget to ask them because I'm also interested in where they are coming from.
Mm-hmm.
But I think in most of the cases, it's via Instagram.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm sure about that.
Mm-hmm.
I think Instagram is still the biggest source for me for jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Even if the algorithm changed. But yeah, I think it's still my access to jobs because I don't have so many followers on Behance. I wish I had, but I think I'm too lazy. I have to upload a lot. Yeah. So I think most of the clients came to me in the past, but I think it's also very important to make some noise for yourself, like reaching out to clients you already worked with, sending out postcards or anything else. Like last year, I sent out mugs because was so tired of postcards. Because I imagined they get a lot of postcards. And so I wanted to do something else. This year, I don't know. I have to come up with something else. But yeah, I think it's a mixture.
Do you always do holiday mailers around this time of year? I know a lot of people do, but I usually
No, I don't have
forget.
A newsletter.
Oh, okay. But but even physical mailers, because a lot of people have these, you know.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sending out Christmas postcards or Happy New Year postcards. Last year, I think it was more for New Year's. Because Christmas, not everyone is celebrating Christmas. And it's more, it's more diverse.
Yes. Yeah. I think you stating that most of your clients reach out to you instead of the other way around, there's nothing arrogant about that. I think that's, I think most illustrators have do it. I mean, in editorial, especially, I think you have to be somewhat proactive because there's so much competition and you have to kind of like stay on top of it and reach back out every 3 months. We've talked about this plenty on this podcast. I'm really horrible at that stuff.
We are both very lazy.
So yeah, ideally I just want people to reach out. But I mean, then again, we're freelancers. So if we don't do anything, then we most likely won't be getting any jobs. So you kind of have to play the whole game and
that's
be
the
on
game.
The platforms and do the stuff.
Yeah. And sometimes I'm envy people who can just delete themselves from social media. Like for example, my best friend, she deleted her profile like 2 years ago and she's so happy since then.
I bet. I can only imagine. I think I'd have to find a a full-time job for I would have to be employed rather in like at this point, as for as long as I'm self-employed, I have to unfortunately maintain all of the
depending a lot on this whole system. And sometimes it's nice, sometimes it's a pressure. So hate love.
That's why it's probably important to just kind of find your own voice on there and just make it feel somewhat authentic and try to find a way to make it feel less dreadful for
own pace and your own time.
Because
I'm feeling very pressured when I spend too much time on the gram.
You can't be posting three times a day. It's not physically impossible, but then I won't get around to doing anything else.
Yep.
So much about that. I have one more question for you, if you don't mind. We always tend to, and maybe this is just me, I'm always obsessed with people's idea of their future self. And so I'm just wondering what direction you would want your career and art practice to take. Like, say 5 or 10 years from now, what would you want your ideal day to look like as an artist and creator, from starting, you know, getting up in the morning? What would be, and if it's just like it is today, then that's just as valid.
This is actually a good question. And now comes my very private response. Because I don't know, a lot of people are talking about quarter life crisis or midlife crisis. And I was wondering if there's something like a art life crisis. Because I think I had like a little crisis a couple of months ago. Because I was, spending a lot of time, really a lot of time on my smartphone. And it made me very sad, actually. depressed, a bit pressured mm-hmm. all the time. And and I was noticing that I was bored of what I see. Mm-hmm. And I think that's also the problem I see right now also on Instagram, that you have this reels and they suggest you to just use the same reel as a template for your reel. mm-hmm. And like my feeling is that it's all the same aesthetic. And I know that's a very negative view right now, but when I'm in a bad mood, it seems to me that like it's all the same. It's mm-hmm. it's not that original anymore. It's more like everyone tries to jump on this train mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. and to get likes. And we are all like dogs. We need our biscuits. We need our likes. Mm-hmm. And we are totally getting mad because the algorithm changed and now it's more hard to reach people. Mm-hmm. For me, it feels like this, like mm-hmm. no one is watching my stuff anymore. And, mm-hmm. But I think you have to leave this room and look at this room from outside, and that it's super crazy mm-hmm. that your whole well-being is focused on one app mm-hmm. actually. And mm-hmm. yeah, I felt like I partly lost my spirit. Mm-hmm. And also, I just noticed that I was more like, oh, how would this look on Instagram? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I was more into this thought than I was thinking about, do I like this or do I want, what do I want to express? What mm-hmm. What kind of art do I want to make? Because it's more like a frame or a box and everyone has to jump into this box or you are out. Yeah. And everyone is afraid to be out of this box.
Yeah.
This is how I felt in this moment. And right now, I feel like I'm on my way out. Mm-hmm. I'm on my way out of this crisis because I think, it's super important. Because I was thinking about my childhood and what was the joy of creating back then and without an audience. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like it was just for myself. And I want this, I know it's impossible to get this exact feeling back, but mm-hmm. I want to get as close to this feeling as possible. And I want art that matters to me and not art that matters to the crowd.
Yeah.
And I think maybe this is my highest goal at the moment, to mm-hmm. get closer to myself again, because I partly lost myself a bit in mm-hmm. the process mm-hmm. of fitting in. And I know that I'm also part of the problem. I'm also trying to fit in this aesthetic. But right now I want to get more focused on what's the joy of creating mm-hmm. and what do I like to also the subject, what do I want to show? Mm-hmm. And so my perfect scenario, I just blocked this out, like this 10 years thought, because mm-hmm. Back when I started, I couldn't imagine me old, mm-hmm. still doing what I'm doing. And I mean, the world and also the digital aspects show that everything is changing. Also, job descriptions are not the same anymore. Mm-hmm. There are totally new jobs our parents don't understand or don't know about. Mm-hmm. mm-hmm. So content creator is also a job. Marketing, I don't know what. Yeah. So there are so many new uh-huh. jobs on the market, actually. Mm-hmm. So I think sometimes it's better for me to not think about what's coming in the next 10 years. But my idol, I think my idol thing would be that I can do what I want and I can still have a financial base mm-hmm. I can build on. Mm-hmm. Like I can pay my studio rent, I can pay my rent at home, or maybe it's a house then, I don't know. I have a dog.
Yeah.
That would be my perfect scenario. Like a labradoodle or whatever. And and I'm healthy. I think we all forget that health is so important, also our psyche. So we are just trained to function at the moment, I have the feeling. And it's not about health anymore. Or also about the smartphone to us. I'm not sure about this. Maybe it's not that good to look at the phone all the time in this blue light. So I want to be healthy, and I want, of course, to be happy, financially stable. And I want to be able to be proud of what I produce or create. And it doesn't necessarily be the art I'm doing right now. As I already told you, I think like art director in general is super interesting and working interdisciplinary. For example, making textiles or I don't know. There's so much to come, maybe.
Why not? I could see you working in fashion.
For example, right? Very interested in fashion.
Cool. And it also gives you, if you work, for example, on canvases or you make textiles or whatever, you have something to touch. This is like what I'm always struggling with, is we work so much digitally because it's convenient and it's fast. But I, for example, started crocheting and I just love touching something all the time. And then when I'm finished, it's there and it's physical, and maybe it doesn't bring as much money, but it brings so much more joy than a digital illustration that I'm also like sometimes drawing for Instagram. And then I hate this thought of like, I have to make the format so it's like convenient for Instagram. And then my whole illustration.
I know the struggle.
Is suffering from that, because maybe the composition should be horizontal for a change.
For example, in Germany, the most common sizes for printing are like these thin sizes. But it's not working on Instagram. It's different. It's struggle.
But I think it's really good that you said this out loud, because I feel like a lot of people struggle with this. And a lot of people are unhappy how they have to fit into this box. And the creativity suffers from this. And also from reels. Reels are like 5 seconds long, if ever. And then you have to show in 5 seconds something you worked on for hours.
And also crazy. What is also a good example, that you are saving so many reels. Or maybe it's my example. I'm saving a lot of stuff and I'm like, oh, I can do this. Or, oh,
yeah,
I could do something like this. And then I'm never doing it, or I can't do it because I spend so much time there. And it blocks a lot of time. And you also have to think about, I mean, our life here is limited, unfortunately. And what do you want to have on your gravestone? Like, spend thousands and thousands of time, thousands of hours on social media.
Yes. Anna was really good at scrolling.
Yeah.
I know, but they do that to you. It's not your fault. It's not our fault. It's like, it's not even the medium. It's not the phone's fault. It's the apps.
Yes.
They are designed to be addictive. And there are these, all the social media platforms, they're primarily advertising platforms. So they make all of their decisions based on ad revenue. So if they're run by advertisers and marketers, there's not a whole lot of room for innovation. They'll just keep repeating what's worked before. They'll look at the statistics and they will encourage users to do the same crap over and over again.
Exactly.
And it just sucks you in, and you spend hours on end doing something, looking at things, looking at other people experience, making actual experiences. And you're like, this could be me. But I'd rather keep scrolling. Yeah. You're so right. Our time here is limited.
And, I hope it was not too negative here.
No, not at all. No, I think about this stuff all the time. It's not. Yeah. I'm affected by these apps too. I have to use them for my job, but yeah, I spend way too much time on them.
I just really love that you said when you said that you want to get back to the joy you had as a child. Because I was, while you said this, I was thinking back when I drew, and it's so hard to remember because I don't consciously remember I want to draw. It just like happened, and I just like took paper and I wanted to draw something, but it's like not a conscious thing so much. It wasn't, yeah, it seemed like it was more subconsciously, I want to do this, now this is coming out of me.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And you didn't have a second thought about a dump app somewhere.
Yeah. You just drew on paper, which is a certain format, and that's your limitation. And not like, is this going to look good on the fridge of my parents?
Yeah, exactly. it's like curating stuff mm-hmm. in the end and not reality.
Yeah.
Du-dum. And just go to work now. Yeah. Do what you want. Feel free.
Yeah, on that note, I don't think I have anything else to add. Maybe one more thing. Every time I have a new project to work on, because now that we're talking about this, I'm kind of self-reflecting, and I open a new document. That's pretty much the first step. And I set it to 1,080 pixels by 1,350 or whatever Instagram currently wants from me. And then I set up my guides and stuff and my rule of thirds. So before I actually even start, you know, to it's create so anything, I just have to put up all of these parameters to make sure it works in the digital space. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I admire you for just getting the paints out and the brushes out and having your own studio and just painting to your heart's content, and that's really admirable and something to work towards. I want your life.
Thank
is
you.
What I'm trying to say in the least creepy way possible.
Yeah, let's see. Long brown hair. Next time I see you.
I can see that.
Yeah, but as I already told you, I'm still also part of the game, part of the problem. I think why I wanted to be so honest with you is because I think we have to talk about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We have to say it out loud so there's something can change.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Very true. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Could you tell our listeners where they can find you online so they can look at your wonderful art?
They can find me on the app we talked a lot about, Instagram. Anna Rupprecht, Rupprecht with double P, _ studio, because it's a one-woman studio. Mm-hmm. Yep. Anna Rupprecht, _ studio, or on my website, which is currently under construction. I'm sorry. AnnaRupprecht.com.
All right.
Cool. Well, thanks, Anna. This was really neat. It was great to have our first heel-fluencer on the show. An honor and a privilege. Also, thanks, everyone, for tuning in again. Yes, we're back with season 3. We'll be back with a brand new episode in 2 weeks with illustrator and muralist Jumu Monster. Her work is insane. We'll talk about it on the next show. Yeah, that's all I got.
Thanks
Anything
so much
else?
For
Any
listening.
Last words?
I think you're doing a great job with Thank those you. Last words. So I don't want to add anything.
Okay. All right. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Tschüssi.
Bye.